I was like, I didn't know. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 1, 2, testing.
Unplugged.
Leave David's mic on, please. If you would turn the monitors on, we're trying to get everything situated.
Testing 1, 2.
Good morning, everyone. Are you guys ready to worship the Lord in a little song?
Yippee!
Yep, you got it.
Do Lord? You doing Do Lord?
We're going to turn to page 13. We're going to do Lord.
Why, thank you, sir.
Key of G, David.
Oh, we need a
Do
favor.
Lord.
2, 3, 4.
I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Way beyond the blue. Do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do remember me. Way beyond the blue.
How about Mr. Chad Campbell?
Take him too. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too. Way beyond the blue. Do Lord, oh do you remember me? Do Lord, oh do you remember me? Do Lord, oh do remember me, way beyond the blue.
How about a David Bennett on that piano? lean back, honey, better go back.
Dear Lord, oh dear Lord, oh dear, remember me. Dear Lord, oh dear Lord, oh dear, remember me. Way beyond the blue.
And I said,
way beyond the blue.
Good job singing out there, y'all.
Alright, let's turn to page 4. Let's do Are You Washed in the Blood? Boy, this is a good one. We're going to do it in key of D.
Let's see.
Are You Washed in the Blood? Alright, David.
Jesus for the cleansing power. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Let's hear you, Bob and David.
The Savior's side. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Let's hear you, Chad.
Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are you garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Well, look at all of you. Welcome home to Sauk River Cowboy Church. Glad to have y'all. My goodness. Do we have any first-time visitors to Cowboy Church? Never been here before. Oh,
whoa, look at that.
Well, give them a hand. Come on. Wow. They win today. That whole row's visitors. Glad to have y'all. Hope you enjoy it and come back. Somebody get a newsletter for them, get in their hand. If I don't do it, you do it, okay? All right. Big hand for this band. Are we blessed or not? We are blessed. Well, this guy over here, I don't know about. But... All right. Anybody got a birthday this week?
Oh, I see some fingers
back
right
in the
there.
Back. I know somebody's sitting up in the crow's nest up there, too. He's got one coming up. 86 years old. I'm not sure he can hear me with those headphones. Charles Turk, 86 years old this Saturday.
Goodness gracious, how about that?
And if you weren't here Thursday night, we told everybody Maxine Killingsworth, Scotty's mother, turned 99 yesterday, too. Woo. Yeah. And this woman is still walking every day. She's cooking a breakfast on Saturdays for, I don't know how many people, tons of them, family. And she still mows her own yard. She's pretty independent. She's a sweetheart, though. She's blessed. That's right. We're blessed to have her, I tell you. All right. Any other birthdays that we do that? Birthdays? Front row? Anniversaries? I hear you. Okay. Anniversaries? Got birthdays? Right here's anniversaries. Anniversary here. Right there. Yeah, oh, you. Father-in-law was pointing. Well, we won't make you sing it then. We'll make Dawson sing it. Get him, buddy.
All righty. And a one, and a two, and a one, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy birthday anniversary. Happy birthday and anniversary to
Dawson. There's no other church like this, I guarantee you. How many churches you get sung happy birthday and anniversary like that? And have great bands like this, too, huh? Yeah. Give them a hand. Well, we got a lot of stuff going on here at Sauk River Cowboy Church. The best way to tell you that is grab one of the new September newsletters. I think there's one on the table as you go out, or out in the event center part there, or go online, SaltRiverCowboyChurch.com. The fundraiser for Lacey Beatty is 3 p.m. this Saturday, right out here at the event center. Starts at 3 o'clock. We're going to pie auction, live auction for items donated. We've got a lot of fun, fellowship, live music, all kinds of stuff going on. Now, ladies, I've told you this, but you ladies are so great at baking food, cakes and pies and whatever. I've seen cakes and pies goes at these auctions for hundreds of dollars. I mean, several hundreds of dollars to help people that are in need and everything. And then they sit there and eat it all up. I can don't share it. Everything. But anyway, if you just want to, if you can't be here, whatever, and you just want to help Lacey, that's Ron and Lori Jones' daughter, by the way, she's battling breast cancer. You can make a cash, put cash in an envelope, put Lacey Beatty on, or put make a check. You can put to Lacey Beatty on there and put an envelope too. We'll get it to her. All right, that is this coming Saturday. Going to be here before you know it. All right, next Sunday. This may be my favorite time of year besides Easter and Christmas, I think, but I love the annual baptism at the river. And if you've never been to that, it'll bless your heart, I'm telling you. People are lined up on that bank getting baptized. It's quite a sight to see. So if you're still thinking about it and want to get baptized, there are sheets on the tables, too, that you can sign up on to be baptized, because we'll give you a Bible and a certificate also. So if you have any questions though about baptism, come see me. I'll be glad to talk to you about it. We'll get you. There's a map how to get there too in that newsletter. Now, the ladies in the kitchen, let's give the ladies in the kitchen a big hand too, by the way. Woo! They're working on a big meal. What we'll do, as soon as this service is over next Sunday, we head to the creek, okay? We'll baptize down there, then they'll all come back. The food will start being served here, I think, about 12:30, something like that. So because it'll be about 11:30 before we get started down there. If you can make it down there, come on down. There'll be plenty of food left. So, and a good friend of mine, Bo, I don't remember Bo's last name, but boy, he's smoking up two whole hogs, and they are delicious. I've had his whole hogs. I've had his smoked coon, too. It's good, too. But maybe he will bring some of that. Anyway, but come to the baptism, I tell you. It's just a, if you can do it at all, it's a very, very special thing, all right? Let me give you something to think about. You're never, ever without hope when you have Jesus. You're never without help. You're not walking through life alone. Even when it feels quiet or heavy, you're held by the one that overcame death, who calms storms with a word, who sees every tear and hears every whisper of your heart. You have Jesus. That means your past does not define you. Your mistakes do not separate you from mercy. Grace runs deeper than guilt. His blood speaks louder than shame. You are forgiven. You're free. You're free. He meets you right where you are. It's up to you. It's all up to you. And if you don't know him, this right now is a good time to do that and be baptized in that river. Bow the knee in prayer, please. God, I pray that if there's someone here today or watching online, they want to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, or maybe just rededicate their life to him. I pray, Father, that they will come to talk to Scotty, Ty, or me today, or contact us. You know, we're glad to talk to them. As I said before, we all need Jesus, Father. I pray that you be with Charles and Jean. Thank you for what happened with Charles this week with his heart. Be with Jean, though. She's still battling some stuff, Father. We lift her up to you. Be with Lacey. She battles cancer. Be with our little Shay. And our son, Kelly. We just lift him up to you, too. And so many others. There's too many. I can't even remember them all. Get them all in here. They're all battling illnesses themselves, or family or friends are battling. Comfort those dealing with the loss of a loved one or just going through some tough things. You're always there for all of us. I pray everyone here and watching will take it one day at a time, Father, and they'll put it in your hands. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless America, this church, and all of you.
All right. Well, Dawson, I think, is going to do I Shall Not Be Moved, page 30.
A is in angel.
Two, three, four.
Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. In His love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, Lord, I shall not be moved.
Chad, will you play something for me?
In my Christ abiding, I shall not be moved. In His love I'm hiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved.
David, play something.
I'm feeding, I shall not be moved. He's the one that's leading, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved.
Lord, I shall not be moved. Hey, we're cutting it off. Yeah, thank you guys. All right, let's do one more before the special. Let's turn to page 40. Do Keep on the Sunny Side. Let's do that in C.
C?
C, yep.
E.
C is I'm crazy. Crazy. Okay, yeah. Happy anniversary, Chad. Okay.
There's a dark and troubled side of life. There's a bright and a sunny side too. Though you meet with the darkness and strife, the sunny side may also find you. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. He'll help us every day, it will brighten on the way. If we keep on the sunny side of life.
Let's hear you, Bob.
Crushing hopes that we cherish so dear. Clouds and storms will in time pass away. The sun again will shine bright and clear. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. He will help us every day, it will brighten all the way. If we keep on the sunny side of life.
Let's hear you, Jack.
Let us greet with a song of hope each day. Though the moments be cloudy and fair, let us trust in our Savior away. Who keepeth everyone in His care.
Oh, sing it loud, guys.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. He it will help us every day. It will brighten all the way if we keep on the sunny side of life. Let us keep on the sunny side of life.
All right, keep those hands together for all these musicians up here. Aren't they great? They're all volunteers, guys. They're volunteering their time up here for us. All right, we're going to get John up here. John Stemp, come on up. He's going to do our special today. I don't know if he wants this or... Woo! About fall. John, it's one of those days. Okay. I don't know... Do you need a stand?
Please.
I don't know if you want to use Jeff's or... Okay. Good. Thank you.
Good morning, family. I'd like to just take a minute to tell you, Jen and I consider ourselves immensely blessed to have found Sauk River Cowboy Church as our church home. And I told you the first time we sang here that we have adopted you as our family. So I just want to ask you a question this morning. How many people have you invited to Sauk River Cowboy Church this week? Somebody's doing a job back there, and we need to congratulate that. But what we have here is something that's really amazing. And how can we not tell our friends about Sauk River Cowboy Church? How can we not? So anyhow, I'd like to sing a song for you this morning called How Long Has It Been? How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secret? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cares for you? Has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that he'd answer you and would keep you the long night through? How long has it been since you woke with the dawn and felt this day is worth living? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cares for you?
you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cares for you? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, John. We appreciate it. That was good. That was good. How's everybody? Well, you look good. Poke your neighbor. Don't say anything. Just poke them. Wake them up a little bit. Well, I'm excited. Finally, I get to preach to y'all in the new barn. So, woohoo! I'm still irritated at my brother. He got to preach here before me. Anyway, did y'all enjoy Andrew? Was it fun? Good. I appreciate him and what he's doing. He is he's passionate about the ministry that he does with all of his team, and he's a very compassionate person. But I will say this, he hasn't always been compassionate. And he told a story on me last Sunday, so I'm going to tell a story on him today. And he, like I said, he's a very compassionate person, but not always. I remember when we were back in our school days, and we were going to school, and I would see him in the hallways and kind of at lunchtime, and we would see each other in passing. There was a kid that was at school, and we're going to call him Silent Steve, because Steve really didn't talk a whole lot, and he was kind of a loner, didn't spend much time with anybody. He would eat lunch by himself. He'd walk home from school by himself, and I kind of noticed, that he just kind of hung out, and he was over in the corner. Then one day, I took notice that Andrew decided that he was going to befriend him, and so I would see Andrew and Silent Steve at lunch, and they would be eating lunch together, and they'd be talking, and they would spend time. You'd see them in the hallway at school, or they'd be high-fiving, and Steve would leave and head home, and Andrew would say bye to him. They started spending time together at school, and so I went to Andrew and I said, "You know what? That's pretty cool. I'm glad that you befriended Steve, because I think he needed a friend, and it's good that you're doing that, and I'm proud of you for that." And he says, "Oh no, he had a Game Boy, and so we don't have one," so it gave me a chance, and so I hang out with him so I can play Game Boy. It was a relationship of convenience, right? Steve had something that he wanted, and so he was nice to him, and that worked for him. Now, relationships. When we think about relationships, there are all kinds of relationships, either based on convenience, maybe relationships that are based on comfort, or even expectations, that we have relationships where we expect certain things and certain actions and certain attitudes from certain people. And that's kind of how that goes. Now, as we look in Philippians, go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 1. And over the next several weeks, we're gonna be walking through Philippians. But in chapter 1, the first 5 verses, we see Paul. This is one of the most uplifting, encouraging books in the New Testament as we read this. And Paul writes it from prison. And so what is so encouraging about his relationship and his connection with the Philippians? And that's what we're going to look at. And so we're going to read these first 5 verses, and then we're going to kind of camp out on 5. And then I want to talk about this. There's many different kinds of relationships that we have, but what about gospel relationships? What about the relationships that have been built around the gospel and the good news of what Jesus has done for us? And so he writes this letter from prison, but he's overflowing with joy. And I want to talk about why. Because this is a partnership as we see this. We're going to see this in verse 5. It's a partnership that stronger than circumstances that they face, obviously, because he's in prison. But not only that, but it runs deeper than just preferences. Being around people that we know, that we think like, that we sound like, that we sing like, that we talk like. It's more than that. It's deeper than that. And so we're going to look at these gospel relationships. And what I want to share with you today from this first 5 verses in Philippians is 4 ways that the gospel unites us as believers. Four ways that the gospel unites us as believers. And so let's read these verses together. It says, this letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. And it says, I am writing to all of God's holy people. First of all, he's writing to Christians. He's writing to believers in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the elders and the deacons. And I want you to take notice of that. He's writing to the church, but he's also writing to the leaders of the church. So if Paul was writing this letter to Sauk River Cowboy Church, this is what he would say. He'd say, this letter is written to all the believers at Sauk River Cowboy Church, not only the believers, but all the ministry leaders as well. This is written to Ty, it's written to Scotty, it's written to the children's ministry and Tammy and all the worship teams and everybody. This is for everybody. And so that's what he's saying. Listen, this is for everyone and this is good for all of you. And he says, may God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. Notice that whatever's going on in this relationship, this connection, or this partnership that he has with the Philippians, it's bringing him joy. It's bringing joy to his life. He's happy about it. It's uplifting. It's encouraging to him. And then verse 5, listen to what it says. Here's the why. Ready? For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. They had partnered with him. This was a bond. This was unity. We're seeing unity in the church of Philippi. We're seeing that they were a united church, focusing together. They were moving forward as a unified church, partnering with Paul in this. And so if you're writing down notes, I want you to write this down. The first way that we're united, or that the gospel unites us together, is that we're united by grace. We are united by grace, not preference. United by grace and not preference. Now, it's easy to be preference-driven. How many of y'all know that? How many of y'all have a preference for one style of music or another? Come on. Yeah, right? Now, I like bluegrass. We play in a bluegrass band. I enjoy bluegrass music. Some of you like country music. Some of you like other kinds of music that's not country or bluegrass. We'll pray for you. And pray that God, reveals His truth to you. But we have preferences. You prefer a certain kind of people. You prefer hanging out with folks that like to wear cowboy hats and boots. If you're at the stockyards, you prefer the smell of cow manure. You prefer those kind of things. And that's why we're here, is because we like to be around like-minded people who are relaxed, who are comfortable, who just love Jesus, and you want to share that love with other people. And so we have that preference. Now, along with those preferences, we also have a preference in location. Now, I'm going to start getting in everybody's backyard. Hopefully, you wore your steel-toed boots today. And I promise you that I preach the same message to everybody at the stockyards, too. All right? But we have a preference on location. Some of you prefer to be right here in the new barn, and that's great. Some of you prefer to be at the stockyards. We also have time differences. We have three different services, two different locations, and preferences are okay. We've got bluegrass bands and country bands, and we play music and we worship God in that style, and you prefer that, and that's a good thing. But when we become preference-driven and we value or we put priority on our preferences over the gospel, we get it backwards. Because we're not unified by preference as believers. We're unified by grace and by the gospel and by what Jesus did for us. We're unified by His Word. We're unified by what Jesus did on the cross for you. If you're a believer in here and you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you have been saved and you have been redeemed, and that's what unites you with every person that you're sitting next to who's accepted Jesus as Savior. And praise God for that. But it's easy to be preference driven. It's easy to want to look at the preference, to look at what we can do. And so when we see this, we're united by that grace and not preference. People who look like us, people who talk like us, people who sound like us. Some of y'all, people who smell like you. That's what you like. You're used to that. You get used to being around people that you know, and it's kind of like people who look like their dogs. Right? You get a dog, and pretty soon you look like that dog. And that dog looks like you. You all have the same personality. It happens. We do that. We have a little dog, and we love him, and we talk to him like he's a human being. We humanize his emotions. We're like, okay, Woody, we're going to be back, okay? We've got three services today, so we're probably going to be home after lunch. That dog doesn't know what I'm saying to him, but we love him. And we tell him, hey, we love you. We'll be back, buddy. Oh, good boy. And we prefer schnauzers. Now, we used to have big dogs. Now we have little dogs. I don't need a cow dog anymore. We like them. But we find ourselves in preferences, and then we begin to huddle up, and we begin to hang out with people like us. And there's nothing wrong with that until we start to prioritize our preferences over the gospel. We start to prioritize our preferences and what we like and what we desire over the gospel. Now, in our bluegrass band, I got to say, I prefer to dress like this all the time. And this is comfortable. It's what I prefer. But in our bluegrass band, I'm only one vote when it comes to what we wear on the stage. And there's a lot of times that the band will say, hey, listen, we're going to dress to the nines. We're in suit and ties. How many of y'all were at Silver Dollar City this year and saw us in a suit and tie? Is there anyone here that saw it? Yeah, we got a couple people. You saw Pastor Ty in a suit and tie, and it was weird. But I'm not going to say, well, that's it. I'm never going to play bluegrass music ever again because I have to wear a suit and tie. I'd be throwing out the good stuff for the one thing that, you know, I don't really prefer to wear a suit, but man, I love bluegrass. And so I don't want to become preference driven because I'm throwing out the main thing if I do that. And that's what we do when we become preference driven is we throw out the main thing. We throw out the gospel. We throw out the Bible. We throw out the mission that God wants for us because of our preferences, and we can't do that. We get flip-flopped when we look at that. And so look at this. In Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 3, it says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Now, for there is one body. Everyone say one body. One body. All right. There's one Spirit. One Spirit. Just as you have been called into one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord.
One Lord.
One faith. One baptism.
One baptism.
You getting this?
Yes.
Good. And one God and Father who is all, over all and in all and living through all. It's not about us, it's about Jesus.
Amen.
It's not about us, but it's about our Heavenly Father and what He's doing for us. And so we're united by grace in this gospel relationship, in these relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. As a church family, as Sauk River Cowboy Church, in two locations, in several different times, in all the different ministries, we are united by the gospel of Jesus Christ and by the grace. That's what unites us. That's what we focus on. That should be our heart and our desire. And so when we do this, we're united, not because we agree on which service to go to or what music we like or what location we go to or who dresses a certain way or, you know, if Scotty's preaching or if Ty's preaching. It's not about that. But we're united based on the gospel. United based on the gospel. Okay, we're going to keep moving. Y'all ready? The second one. The second way that the gospel unites us is this. That we're united as co-laborers. Co-laborers, not consumers. Co-laborers in Jesus Christ, not consumers. What do I mean? It is easy to get a consumer mindset in church. Man, y'all are quiet, right now. You scared? Did you wear your steel toes? But we don't need to have a consumer mindset when it comes to the gospel or when it comes to the church. He said, we're partners in spreading the news. We partner together. We're unified partners and co-laborers in the work of Jesus Christ. That means you're sitting next to your partner. Say, hey, partner. Y'all didn't sound very convincing. But we're partners in the work of seeing souls saved and people's lives changed. And so what's a consumer mindset? Ready? A consumer mindset, here it goes. It consumes a sermon instead of applying truth. A consumer mindset will consume a sermon instead of applying truth. What do I mean? That means we take it in, we get it in here, and we listen to it, but we don't apply the truth of that message, maybe because we thought, well, this is kind of how it works. You show up at church with a consumer mindset, and you go, well, church wasn't very good today. They didn't do my favorite song. Or church wasn't very good today because I didn't like the message that Ty preached. Or I didn't care for the message that Scotty preached. Well, was it not good because you didn't care for it and you're thinking about preferences, or did you just consume a message and you're not letting it work in your life? Because a lot of times we show up and we think, oh, church is all about me. I'm glad you're laughing. I'm thankful for that. But we get this consumer mindset when it comes to church. A consumer mindset attends worship but avoids service. Attends worship but avoids service. What do I mean by that? You attend, you show up, you take in what's going on around you, but oh, when it comes to, oh, it's a little bit inconvenient, they've asked me to, oh, they asked me if I would help with this. They asked me, they've asked me if I would do that. Oh, no, I just want to sneak in and hide, right? Because we're willing to take in, but are we willing to allow the gospel to work through us? I love what Andrew said. He said, a gospel that only affects us but doesn't work through us, it's not the gospel. I like that. Don't tell Andrew I said that. No, but I like that. Think about it. If the gospel affects us, then it should also work through us, because there is more than enough love of Jesus to share with everybody else. And it should work through us and not just in us. That's a consumer mindset. A consumer mindset expects ministry to be done for them instead of through them. For them instead of through them. And you know what that turns church into? It turns church into a product instead of people. You're the church. This building's not the church. This barn, I love this barn. This is awesome. I'm excited I get to preach on a Sunday morning right now for the first time. And I love it. And I love the stockyards. I enjoy going to the stockyards. That feels like home to me a little bit, because that's where we first started going to church. And I love all that. But that's the church meeting someplace. You're the church. It's people. The church is not a product that we offer to people and we try to sell them on what we got. You're the church. Everyone say, I'm the church. I'm the church. And the church can meet anywhere. We can go meet in a chicken barn. I don't recommend it. They smell bad. But we can. Because we're the church. We're united as co-laborers. As co-laborers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're not consumers. So you're called to serve and not sit. You're joined to a mission, not just a meeting place. We have a mission, and I would love this, and we're going to do it. No, I'm going to wait. I'm going to tell you that in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. But we're joined to a mission, not just a meeting, because we're united in Christ Jesus, and we are the church. Love that. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we're created for good works. It means we're co-laborers. 1 Corinthians says we're fellow workers tells us that we're fellow workers. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that we're working to be saved, but because we are saved, it's just the natural outflow of us that we want to and we have a desire to contribute and be partners in the ministry of the church. It's what we do. Now let's keep moving. The third thing, the third way that the gospel unites us is this, is that we are unified and united by a mission, not convenience. We're unified by a mission and not convenience. What do we mean by that? Well, as a church, we have a mission. Doesn't matter what the ministry is, and we have a lot of ministries and a lot of services and two different locations, and we got a lot going on. But we're united by one mission, and that's to see the gospel preached. But it's convenient for us to kind of find our little spot. We kind of find our little spot and it's comfortable. It's kind of like treating church like a menu at a restaurant. If you're like me, you have this Rolodex in your head of restaurants that you like, and you don't need to look at the menu because you know you're going to order the exact same thing every time when you go to that restaurant. If I'm in the mood for a chimmy, I'm going to the local Mexican food restaurant and I'm going to order me a chimmy and it's going to have beef in it. And I know this, I'm going to get chips and salsa and then I'm going to get me some queso and I'm going to fight my boy for that queso because he's going to try to eat it all. But I know that's what I'm going to get. And I'm comfortable and it's easy and I go in and it's just like this, no struggle. I don't have to read a menu. I don't have to do any of that. I just go in and I get that and then I'm used to it. I'm not scared because I know I already like it. It's good. But guess what's happening because I do it that way? I'm missing out on a lot of good nourishment on the rest of that menu. But I found that one thing that makes me comfortable and that's it, and everything else is a little inconvenient. No, I don't want to do that. I want this. What if I don't like it? But I like that. And we treat church like that. Let me tell you something. There is lots of ministry going on at this church every week and lots of stuff happening all the way from children's to music to worship services, and we're singing and we're worshiping God. And it's a mission, and the mission is not always convenient, but it's always worth it because the mission is to seek and save the lost. And I think it's important for us to remember that. You say, well, you know, I'm not a worship leader. I can't preach. I don't teach. Not everybody's called to do the same thing. If you came to me and you said, hey, I feel led to lead the music. I feel led to be a worship leader and sing. The first question I would ask you is, can you sing? And if you told me, I'm tone deaf, I would say, then God did not call you to sing. And that's okay because we're not all given the same skill set. We're not all given the same thing. But God has uniquely designed you and created you with your influence and your circle of influence, and not only your circle of influence, but your resources and your skills. And you have been called to do a certain thing, and you partner with the ministry of the church in what you do, whether it's being an artist, or maybe it's the Gus ministry, or maybe you are a musician, or whatever it might be. Children's ministry, everyone's like, oh no, I'm not called to be a children's minister. Teasing. But you have been designed and specifically blessed and gifted by God with a spiritual gift that you can partner with the body of Christ to complete the mission. And it's not always convenient, I'll be honest with you, but it's worth it. Sometimes you think, man, I signed up for this. Oh. Someone knows what I'm talking about. I signed up for this, and it's not always convenient. Sometimes it's frustrating. Why? Because you get this many people together in one place, there's going to be friction, and you're going to have to deal with some stuff, but it happens. And it's not convenient, it's not comfortable, but it's worth it when that one person walks down and he says, hey, how do I get saved?
And then you pray with them. And they accept Jesus as their Savior. And they begin to love God and grow in their relationship with Him. Every bit of it's worth it. Every bit. So it's not always convenient, but it's worth it. Because we're united in that mission, not convenience. I love what it says in Philippians. Nope, I'm getting ahead of myself again. Hang in there with me. The fourth one, y'all ready? The fourth one. That we're united by the Holy Spirit, not personal strength. We are united by the Holy Spirit and not personal strength. What do you mean? Well, maybe you're sitting out there saying, I really don't like this message, Ty, because I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can get on board with that. And my answer to you is this: you can't. You're right. You can't. Why? Because of this right here. It's called the flesh, the fallen condition. We can't do nothing good in ourselves. But it's powered by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit doing that work through us. He helps us. He guides us. He gives us the strength. He gives us that desire. He gives us that passion. He gives us that compassion for the lost, even when it's inconvenient. That's what He does. It's through Him that we can do what we do. Now Philippians, we look in Philippians in chapter 2. Look at this. Verse 13. And we're going to get to this and we're going to dive into verse 13 at some point as we're moving through this on Sundays. But listen to what it says. It says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." It's God. It's His power. It's by His strength, not ours. I love that. In Galatians chapter 5, whose fruit is it? Come on now. Love, joy, peace, patience. Whose fruit is that? The Spirit's, not yours. How many of you all remember I made you make a promise? You remember that promise? No one remembers that? I've got to start preaching better. I made you raise your right hand. We read that, the fruit of the Spirit. That it's not us that's doing it, it's the Holy Spirit. And I made you promise, and I said, I promise not to force my fruit. Because it's the Holy Spirit's fruit that changes us, that works through us. Not only in Galatians chapter 5, we look in Romans in chapter 8 and at verse 26, I believe. It's talking about praying. It's like, how do we pray? And sometimes we don't know how to pray, but the Spirit helps us pray. Maybe you're saying, this is what I can do. I want to partner with the church and I want to partner with Sauk River Cowboy Church as a believer and I want to be unified in the mission. But what I can do is I can pray. I can lift up and I can encourage and I can cheer on the ministry of the church no matter what location or what service it is or what ministry it is. Maybe that's what God has called you to do, and we can't do that in ourselves. Have you ever tried to will yourself not to get sick? Anyone in here, you feel a cold coming on, you're like, that's it, I'm not going to do it. You men in here, you know what I'm talking about? And then the next day, you're sitting in the recliner all covered up and sneezing and coughing. And then you women get it. And you finally understand what us men go through. I knew it. You finally get it. Rewind. Try that again. I'm teasing. You see, we can't will it to happen. We can't will this to happen. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that guides us, helps us. And so I'll close with this. This gospel, the gospel relationships, they're formed and they're sustained by grace and the Holy Spirit. That's how it happens. That's why Paul's so joyous and so happy and so thankful for the Philippians, because they understood this. They understood it. It's rooted in grace and not preference. It's bound by mission, not convenience. It's sustained by the Holy Spirit, not our own efforts. We don't will it to happen, but the Holy Spirit works through us and makes it happen. And this is the kind of church that we're called to be. This is the kind of church that we're called to be. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, I love you and say thank you for your word, for your goodness, for the gospel that unites us, for the Holy Spirit who sustains us. And I pray now that you would move in our hearts, give us the resolve, give us a desire to partner with each other in these gospel relationships, that we would be united and that we would want to move forward with your mission to seek and save the lost. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that hasn't accepted you as Savior, I pray that today would be the day that they call you Lord, that they accept you and they begin to live for you. And they begin to partner with the church body to see others saved and changed. We love you and we praise you and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's test it on. Shelley. Testing, testing. Hello, there we go. All right, let's turn to page 31. We'll do In the Garden, first verse and chorus. Key of D.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God. Joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Dawson, you want to close us in prayer?
Dear Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for all the opportunities that you've given us to praise you, Lord, throughout the week. And Lord, thank you for giving us this building, Lord, but let us just carry us in our heart as a congregation, that we may know that we are not this building and we are not Soccer for Cowboy Church, but we are the children of God, Lord. And ultimately, as we carry through the week with you in our hearts, Lord, let us spread that joy, that it may go outside these walls, Lord, and spread to others, because ultimately, Lord, that is our mission. It is not to stay within the church and praise within the church. It is to carry the church out and show others, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen.